First Line Report, news and commentary. I'm Fred Graham, CBS News law correspondent, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. We'll talk about a loophole in the campaign spending laws after this.
You can extend the reach of indoor and outdoor power tools with TrueTest heavy-duty 2- and 3-wire extension cords from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you they're ideal for use with workshop tools, hedge trimmers, electric mowers, work lights, chainsaws, and more. They resist oil, grease, and most chemicals. And TrueTest heavy-duty extension cords from True Value Hardware Stores are sized from 25 to 100 feet to suit your particular needs. Then see all the other values on quality electrical supplies to help you complete many home repairs and improvements, and rely on their practical knowledge to help you select the right items for the job. From the electrical department of participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. And don't forget, you can save gas, too, because you won't have to drive far for your hardware and houseware needs. If you're looking for values, for service, and for selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers located nationwide. More than a name, True Value is our way of doing business.
At the Republican convention here in Detroit, some new pro-Reagan television commercials were unveiled the other day. You'll be seeing and hearing them on television starting Friday, but here's a brief sampling of a couple.
Honorable Ronald Reagan, I want more than anything I've ever done to unleash the power of the American people. The great
Do you really think Iranian terrorists would have taken Americans hostage if Ronald Reagan were president?
Now, these are a part of Ronald Reagan's campaign for president, right? And President Jimmy Carter has an equal chance to answer back, right? No, wrong on both counts. For these television commercials are not officially a part of the Reagan campaign. And because federal campaign laws are structured to limit the spending of both candidates on their official campaigns, these supposedly independent advertising projects could throw the campaign dangerously out of balance and perhaps unfairly tip the scales against President Carter. The federal election campaign laws were passed in reaction to the excesses of Watergate in an effort to remove the power and corrupting influence of private money giving in presidential elections. Congress limited the amount of money that candidates could spend on their campaigns and also limited the amount that independent individuals and groups could spend on behalf of candidates. But the Supreme Court declared the second provision unconstitutional, saying that it violated the First Amendment rights of people to effectively express their political views. That opened a loophole that has permitted conservative Reagan supporters to form allegedly independent groups that plan to spend millions of dollars on TV and radio ads praising Reagan and blasting the president. Of course, theoretically, Carter supporters could do the same, but they say their people don't have that kind of money, and in any event, the extra money violates the whole idea of limiting campaign spending. A series of lawsuits have been filed challenging the legality of the so-called independent pro-Reagan committees. They say the committees aren't really independent, that they're taking their signals from the official Reagan campaign. They also claim that the Supreme Court decision was designed to protect the free speech rights of individuals and small groups, not well-heeled nationwide fundraising campaigns geared to raise and spend millions of dollars. It's unclear whether the courts can get around to ruling on these issues in time to prevent the Carter-Reagan campaign from being pushed badly out of balance. But beyond that, if such independent political groups are not brought within the campaign spending laws, the whole campaign finance system could become so unfair that Congress might have to throw out all these laws and start all over. And now this.
Reach out and touch someone.
To call and invite you to the game?
Not at all. I like a woman to spend a little money on me for a change.
Oh, I'm not in saving mode.
Saving mode?
Sure. Weekdays, I make out-of-state calls after 5 p.m. If you dial yourself without an operator, you save 35%, except Alaska and Hawaii.
But the tickets...
It's okay. They're on me.
Reach out and touch someone.
The Bell System.
This has been First Line Report. I'm Fred Graham, CBS News.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The Republican National Convention is now entering its climactic phase here in Detroit. Tonight's the night the delegates give the party's 1980 presidential nomination to Ronald Reagan, and sometime tomorrow, Reagan will announce his choice of a running mate.
Intense speculation persists on that score, and increasingly it centers on George Bush of Texas. But speculation of that sort has often been wrong in the past. Last night's session ran far behind schedule, and Reed Collins tells us about that.
Convention Chairman John Rhodes warned that the Republicans were running out of prime time, a main consideration. And so when the convention ran past midnight, he called it quits for the night, postponing the keynote address by Guy Vanderjagt until this evening, when the session will start half an hour earlier than planned. Vanderjagt does not write his speeches, but memorizes them, so there was no advance text to be leaked. Part of the lateness was due to the swiftly scheduled appearance of Dr. Benjamin Hooks, director of the NAACP. There were some remembrances of things past. Senator Barry Goldwater brought the convention to its feet and at times to tears when he spoke of his passion for his nation and his fear for its future.
I have reached that point in my life, not a long life, but I'll tell you it's been an interesting one. I've reached a point where I don't think we have much more time. Or this might be the last Republican convention. And in 2 weeks, the last Democrat convention. There are forces working against our country. There are selfish forces working for their own interests in our country. And our country was built upon the concept that freedom came from God and that it belongs to all people. As long as we don't abuse the rights that have been given us. Thank you very much.
The ovations for Senator Goldwater, the length of some introductions and some speeches themselves, all contributed to the decision to cancel the keynote address until this evening and move it into the same session at which the candidate will be nominated. Reed Collins, CBS News Convention Headquarters in Detroit.
So tonight will certainly be Ronald Reagan's night. But it can be said with equal certainty that last night belonged to Barry Goldwater. It was, as we hear from George Herman, almost in the nature of a last hurrah.
Senator Barry Goldwater, 71 years old, in pain, fresh from a hospital bed, stood before a convention that was as deeply moved to have him there as he was to be there, introduced with love and respect by his son, Congressman Barry Goldwater, Jr. He braced himself on his aluminum crutch and grappled with his speech text, and they loved it. Repeatedly, he had to stop and mop his dripping face, complaining of the heat on the rostrum.
You think it's hot in Arizona? It's about the hottest damn place I've been all day.
His son, Barry Jr., sat close by, his own face shining with the perspiration of his anxious scrutiny of his father. When it was over, the audience added some warmth of its own. Tumultuous, affectionate cheers for the grand old man of the grand old party. And the cheers still echoed as Goldwater made his slow, painful way, inching up the ramp to disappear from sight, but not from the hearts of these delegates in Detroit. George Herman, CBS News, Convention Headquarters.
Before Senator Goldwater made last night's triumphant appearance, the convention approved the party's 1980 platform with little more than a ripple of open dissent, and afterwards it applauded Henry Kissinger, who said that Reagan, as president, would take a strong foreign policy line, rebuilding national defenses, making up with the Allies, and resisting Soviet expansionism. Some conservatives had threatened to demonstrate against the former Secretary of State, but they didn't. Last night's session of the Republican Convention placed emphasis on the importance of blacks in the political process. Deborah Potter has the story.
The theme of the convention has been party unity, but no blacks were scheduled to make major speeches, and many black delegates saw that as a slap in the face. They demanded that an invitation be issued to the head of the NAACP, and they won. Benjamin Hooks used the occasion to push what he called a black agenda for the 80s, and he urged the Republicans to re-examine their positions on some controversial issues, the Equal Rights Amendment, capital punishment, and abortion.
Whatever your personal position might be, we at the NAACP believe that any rights and options which are awarded and available to the rich must be available to the poor.
Hooks never mentioned Ronald Reagan by name. He's been sharply critical of the governor for declining to address the NAACP convention last month, and he says he doesn't expect many blacks to support Reagan this fall. But other blacks here are warning the Democrats not to count on their traditional allies. As one of them put it, Jimmy Carter fooled us once. It won't happen again. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Detroit.
About the time that Benjamin Hooks was addressing the convention in Detroit, racial disorders were breaking out in Miami, in the same area where many lives were lost and a vast amount of damage done in race riots 2 months ago. Charles Gomez reports.
Miami black leaders had warned that the disturbances that had swept through the Liberty City area could easily be provoked again. Too little attention being paid to unemployment and discrimination, they said. Too little money from the federal government to help poor sections of the city rebuild again. But even the leaders weren't prepared for the new wave of violence that left five policemen injured by gunfire and brick throwing, and also left at least 20 motorists cut after rocks and bottles were thrown through windshields. The unrest followed the shooting of a white police officer investigating a car robbery by four black youth. No one knew where the shot came from, and soon rocks and bottles flew through the air near the housing projects. Police were quick to point out that the newest disturbances could not be compared to the riots in May, which claimed 18 lives and cost $100 million in property damage. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Miami.
Miami police say less than a dozen people were arrested in connection with last night's troubles. The affected areas are reported quiet this morning. The International Olympic Committee today chose a new president. Steve Young has details in Moscow.
The newly elected president of the International Olympic Committee was the front-runner all along, Spain's ambassador to the Soviet Union, Juan Antonio Samaranch. He won on the first ballot, beating candidates from Canada, New Zealand, and Germany, and a Swiss member of the IOC who entered his name just under the deadline. Samaranch is a shrewd politician and was supported by Latin nations as well as the Eastern Bloc. The power and the problems will pass to him from Ireland's Lord Killannon when the Olympic flame is extinguished August 3rd. Samaranch is a small, dapper man who speaks five languages. He'll have his hand full as head of the sporting world's most powerful body. Probably the most pressing issue is what has come to be called giganticism, a feeling many have the Olympic Games have grown far too big. Construction costs for Olympic facilities, for instance, left Montreal $1.5 billion in debt. In view of recurring political problems, Samaranch and the IOC will have to decide whether the Games should be moved to a permanent site. Steve Young, CBS News, Moscow.
The death toll from the heat wave in southern and southwestern states is unofficially estimated now at more than 700. Iranian President Bani Sadr this morning says that trials of some of those involved in a recent plot against his regime will start either today or tomorrow. Gold opened not much above $600 an ounce today in Zurich, then it began rising and was fixed in London this morning at $624.50.
Newsbreak. Charles Osgood reporting from our convention headquarters in Detroit on the CBS Radio Network. When speakers at a political convention get their teeth into a metaphor, they act like a dog that's got hold of a bone. They chew on it, growl at it, shake it, and hang on to it for dear life. One of the favorite metaphors in political convention speeches is the ocean, boats, ships, storms at sea, tranquil waters, things of that sort. And so, if you will fasten your life preservers and get your sea legs in shape, in just a moment, after this brief pause, we will weigh anchor and cast off.
The Bell System presents Mr. Tony Bennett.
Reach out and touch someone. Reach out, call up and just say hi. Reach out and touch someone. Wherever you are, you're never too far. They're waiting to share your day.
If you've left your heart in San Francisco or any place far away, pick up a phone and get close. Believe me, it really feels good.
People from coast to coast, calling up friends to keep them close. Families who care so much, keeping in touch. Reach out and touch someone.
following the Republican convention the last couple of days and nights, we have heard all sorts of figures of speech. But the most common ones by far have been nautical in nature. And perhaps that's understandable. Many of the speakers are good people to have along on a boat ride since they have a reassuring amount of nautical experience. Senator John Warner, for example.
With great pride, I have served my country in three wars, as a sailor, as a Marine, as Secretary of the Navy.
John Connally was Secretary of the Navy, too, at one point. If anything should happen on a sea voyage, sure is nice to know that you have a couple of former Secretaries of the Navy aboard who know what to do. Former President Ford, another Navy man, would tell you not to worry, though, because the ship is well made.
We launch these clipper ships to trade anywhere in the world.
Former Treasury Secretary William Simon is a fellow who loves to tell old sea stories.
4 years ago, we were beginning to move in the right direction. Our economic ship of state had encountered some rough seas, but we were sailing into smooth waters.
Hope you're enjoying the boat ride so far.
There was a fresh buoyancy coming into American life.
Hang on, though, because I'm afraid there's trouble ahead. These old clipper ships have a lot of sails on them, and you really have to know which sails to have up and which ones to have down.
As soon as Jimmy Carter got his hands on our economy, everything that was going up started coming down, and everything that was going down went through the roof.
But fear not. Captain Reagan is on the poop deck trying on captain's hats.
In 6 months' time, we'll have strong, steady hands at the helm. And in 6 months' time, we can finally begin to reverse course.
Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger will feel better then, too.
Under his leadership, we will overcome the storms ahead.
Storms ahead? Storms ahead? Congressman Kemp, why do you have that alarmed expression on your face?
There is a tidal wave coming in this country, a political tidal wave, as powerful as the one that hit in 1932.
That was a real bad one in 1932. The Republican Party almost got washed out of the boat. You see what I mean about all these nautical references?
As a sailor, our economic ship of state,
these clipper ships
are sailing into smooth waters.
The storms ahead.
Fresh buoyancy, steady hands at the helm.
There is a tidal wave.
The convention recessed before the scheduled voyage was finished last night. They said it was because things were running late. But just between you and me, I think maybe it was because everybody was a little seasick. Now this.
This match is one of the world's most lethal weapons. It kills thousands of people each year, countless thousands of animals. It lays waste to millions of acres and destroys thousands of homes. It strikes at high noon and in the dead of night. Man created the match. Man uses it to his benefit and misuses it to his sorrow. Only you can prevent forest fires.
A public service of this station, the Smokey Bear Program, and the Ad Council.
Newsbreak. Charles Osgood, CBS News.
CBS News. CBS News has learned that Ronald Reagan has informed Republican Party leaders he wants former President Gerald Ford as his running mate and that he has no second choice. I'm Richard C. Hartlett reporting on the CBS Radio Network. CBS News correspondent Dan Rather reports that four prominent Republicans, Senate Minority Leader Howard Baker, Senator Bob Dole of Kansas, Governor Clement of Texas, and House Minority Leader John Rhodes, met someone close to Ronald Reagan this morning and heard from him that Reagan's first and only preference for the vice presidential nomination is Gerald Ford. The four Republican leaders had an appointment to see Mr. Ford an hour ago, and Rather says their purpose was to get his acceptance. Rather says that as of this morning, Mr. Ford was not at the point of accepting, but was described as being no longer hurt by what he considered to be less than full campaigning for him by Reagan in 1976. Interviewed earlier this morning by NBC, Mr. Ford said he had not changed his mind about running again for the job that he held before Richard Nixon's resignation, citing both constitutional problems and his belief that there is a better candidate. It is a constitutional problem, said Ford, noting that both he and Reagan are California residents. The Constitution says the president and vice president must be from different states. More CBS News after this.
A message from CBS News. As the Republicans build their convention platform, many Americans have questions about the vital issues the party will debate in Tampa, Florida.
I'm worried about unemployment in this state. We've got people coming from up north. We've got people coming from overseas. And there just don't seem to be enough jobs to go around. I wonder what the politicians are going to do about it.
Do the Republicans have an answer? Complete convention coverage continues tonight on the CBS television network.
I'll be watching.
How does superstar Carly Simon feel about critics?
I don't think a lot of critics realize how fragile the egos of the artists are. Their writing, their job, their egos are more important.
I'm Christopher Ames. July 19th and 20th, I'll have a 20-part special for you. Between the Lines, Carly Simon. We'll talk about everything from her youth to her current stardom. Between the Lines, Carly Simon. The weekend of July 19th and 20th on most of these CBS radio network stations.
Iran is cracking down on suspected plotters against the regime of Ayatollah Khomeini. More from Alex Brody in Tehran.
The head of Iran's Supreme Court, Ayatollah Beheshti, said a group of the conspirators would receive the death penalty, and others might face it. He said that a great number had been arrested, and an even greater number would be arrested soon. Official figures indicate that so far about 300 people have been detained. Ayatollah Beheshti said Iran's borders were closed as a security measure. The matter had first been discussed by himself and others on the High Judicial Council and then by the ruling Revolutionary Council. He did not clarify why the order was issued in the name of the Revolutionary Prosecutor General 4 hours before the Revolutionary Council issued its official order. The borders could be closed for longer than 2 days. If it's necessary to close them for a week or a month, we will do it, said Dr. Beheshti. After a visit to Ayatollah Khomeini, President Bani Saad told the official PARS news agency that the trials of the alleged conspirators would be firm and categorical. This is Alex Brody in Tehran.
The head of the Revolutionary Military Court today announced action against others who might be critical of the regime. It is stopping pension payments to retired members of the army, the gendarmerie, the police, and related organizations who are living abroad. A federal judge in Washington today turned back a challenge to draft registration. The American Civil Liberties Union tried to delay the program due to start next week, arguing that it violates the 1975 Privacy Act by requiring young men to list their Social Security numbers. Stocks and other news after this.
Reach out and touch someone. Reach out and have some happy talk.
My son, the doctor, called me from the coast. He's opened his own clinic.
Nice.
My daughter, the lawyer, called. She bought a soccer team.
Oh, don't say.
My son called.
What has he done?
Nothing special.
So how come he called all this way?
Because it makes me feel so good. He doesn't need a reason.
Oh, nice.
System.
When your pets roundworms come rolling along, they'll do your dog or cat wrong. Get Hearts once a month wormer for your pet today and send those roundworms rolling away.
Don't let your puppy, kitten, dog, or cat suffer with roundworms. Simply add the Hearts once a month wormer to your pet's dinner. Use just once every 30 days and the Hearts wormer will help keep dangerous roundworms away for good.
Get Hearts once a month wormer for your pet today and send those roundworms rolling away.
American industrial production fell 2.4% last month, the fifth decline in a row and the biggest since January 1975. Within that figure, one upward note, auto assemblies increased 7%, but they're still at a level far below last year. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 4.01, volume on the big board 19,640,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrials stand at 905.55. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.
CBS News, Ronald Reagan responds to reports that he wants only Gerald Ford on his ticket, and he says not necessarily so. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network.
Reagan aides earlier were reported as saying not only does Reagan want former President Ford as his running mate, but that he has no second choice. But in public, the presidential nominee-to-be refuses to end the guessing game, as Jerry Bowen reports from Hamtramck, Michigan, near Detroit.
Reagan left his convention hotel for the Detroit suburb of Hamtramck and a luncheon meeting with convention leaders, including all the potential running mates except Donald Rumsfeld and President Ford. Reagan was asked about the possible Ford choice.
Governor Reagan, is the door still open to President Ford to be your running mate?
Well, as I've told you so often, no one's ruled in and no one's ruled out.
And President Ford is not ruled out today.
Well, his last statement was rather definite to me about it. Out of Palm Springs, but...
Reagan seemed to leave the door wide open for Ford to change his mind, a change that many Republicans believe would make a dream ticket. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, with the Reagan campaign in Hamtramck.
Mr. Ford has sounded reluctant to take the second spot on the ticket, pointing out constitutional problems. Both he and Reagan are California residents, and the Constitution says a president and vice president must be from different states. Mr. Ford says to move back to Michigan just for political benefit would bother him. Another vice presidential possible, George Bush, this morning had to cut short his speech to a GOP delegation meeting in a hotel near Detroit. Very strong winds lashed the hotel, ripping away some ceiling panels at the entryway, shaking the whole building and cutting off power. Bush and aides retired to a secure room. The delegation continued its meeting by candlelight. Those winds tore off part of the roof of a junior high school in the area. Two students were hurt there. A tornado touched down this morning in Battle Creek. More news coming up.
May I have your attention, please? Western Airlines announces the arrival of an important new fringe benefit for passengers between Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Introducing Western's $50 travel pass. It's worth $50 off any Western Airlines ticket to anywhere Western flies.
Here's how it works. Just pick up your travel pass at the airport, keep it with you so we can validate it when you board your flight from L.A. to San Francisco or back. Round trips count as two flights. After five flights, your travel pass is worth $50 off any Western Airlines ticket. Only full passes can be redeemed. The more passes you fill, the more you can save. Two passes save $100. 10 passes save $500. To anywhere we fly. Hawaii, Alaska, Mexico, anywhere.
So take the Western way to San Francisco. We've got more nonstops than ever. And the only $50 travel pass in the sky.
It's the
Iranian airports, seaports, and borders remain closed today. The Revolutionary Command there saying it's going after people involved in an alleged coup attempt last week. President Bonnie Sadr says trials may begin today or tomorrow. The freed hostage, Robert Queen, is to return to the U.S. on Friday, spending some time in Washington hospitals, then recuperating further at his parents' home in Maine. A doctor in Cairo says the former Shah of Iran underwent a minor procedure today in his hospital bed, a lancing of an abscess in his leg. The doctor says any major operation has been put off at least a couple of days. Several hundred new refugees arrived in Miami today. They came from Haiti with the help of the Coast Guard, and Petty Officer Mike Kelly tells us about it.
The cutter Durable rescued 239 Haitians from an overcrowded 50-foot sailboat 130 miles southeast of Miami yesterday. While en route to Miami, the cutter found two more unseaworthy sailboats, bringing the total number of Haitians to 355. The 50-foot sailboat was sunk, and the two smaller vessels were lashed together and set adrift to be recovered later.
Haitian refugees recently have been coming ashore in Florida, several hundred a week. The American Civil Liberties Union has failed in one of its attempts to block the upcoming draft registration. It asked a federal judge in Washington to issue a restraining order, saying the process invades privacy because it requires young men to give their Social Security numbers. The judge ruled against, saying it's in the nation's interest for the registration process to continue. Stocks and more coming up.
What was that all about?
The smoke alarm. Your cigarette smoke set it off.
Some joke.
Yeah, well, those yellow stains on your teeth are no joke.
What do you mean?
Here, blow some cigarette smoke through this white handkerchief. See that stain?
Wow, no wonder my teeth look so dingy.
Yeah, you better get some Topol.
Topol, the smoker's tooth polish. Used regularly, it helps remove all kinds of superficial yellow tobacco stains. Week after week, watch your teeth get brighter and brighter. Topol, the smoker's tooth polish. Now in 3-ounce regular or 7-ounce fluoride. Used only as directed.
Mom, why didn't you show Bob's mother your new ring?
Because all she'd look at would be the brown spots on the back of my hand and guess my age.
Come on, Mom. If you're that sensitive, get Porcelana.
Porcelana Medicated Fade Cream. Just rub it in and watch those spots start to fade. Works to lighten brown spots that come with age and during childbearing years. Helps fade sun freckles, too. Porcelana helps bring back your natural skin tone in just 6 weeks. Porcelana. Available at cosmetic counters. Use only as directed.
Industrial production figures from the government show a continuing recession but indicate a slight upswing in the auto industry. Overall production was off 2.4% in June, following a similar decline in May. Those are the largest monthly decline since January of 1975 during the last recession. On Wall Street at the hour, the Dow Industrials average up 7.68, big board volume almost 27 million. David Jackson, CBS News.
Today is the day Ronald Reagan has waited 12 years for, the day he wins the Republican nomination for president. It was 4 years ago on a night like tonight that he lost the nomination to Gerald Ford. Tonight there will be no suspense. Reagan had it won coming in. With a virtually flawless campaign that in reality has been going on for 4 years, he wrapped the contest up early and came here unopposed. Reagan's schedule today is much like yesterday. Ensconced in his hotel suite, he will receive a steady stream of Republican luminaries, all with advice on who to choose as a running mate. Tonight, Reagan will watch on television as he is nominated and tomorrow announce his decision on who will run with him in the fall. Bob Fuss with the Reagan campaign in Detroit.